I want to use for my text this morning is 3 John 1 and 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. You stand with me when you find that portion of Scripture or when it appears on the screen. Amen. 3 John, chapter number 1. There's only one chapter in 3 John, so that was easy to find. Praise the Lord. Verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Praise our God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost of God that is in this house today. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are going to move and minister in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, as we give ourselves attentively unto your word and your spirit speaking expressly to the needs of our heart, of our mind, of our bodies, Lord, just work your wonderful works and let your spirit move mightily at the close of this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated again this morning. Prosperity of the soul. John is writing to Gaius, and he is encouraging him, and he's actually praising him, and he's actually rejoicing with him. And this is the wish, the desire that John had, that he would prosper and be in health, even as his soul prospereth. Now, I personally believe that this is a statement of the fact of that is what's going on in Gaius' life, because he's living the truth, walking in the truth, believing the truth. Truth is prevailing in his life, and because truth is prevailing in his life, he is prospering and he is in health. Hallelujah. And so I don't believe John's saying that I wish that you could prosper. I wish that you could be healthy. I think John is saying, I hope and I'm trusting that you're going to maintain what you're doing in your life. Hallelujah. That you're going to continue to prosper in your soul, that all the other things in your life may prosper also. You know, this is probably not going to be a real popular message, because this message is actually going to contain some things to decide whether or not my soul is really prospering. It's not a matter whether I'm prospering financially and or healthy per se. Really, what I'm going to preach about this morning is so I can begin to look and survey my life to determine if my soul is really prospering right now or whether it's lacking. You see, that's something we don't want to lack in. We don't want to lack in prosperity of the soul. Because if we lack in prosperity of the soul, then 2 plus 2 equals 4. If we lack in prosperity of the soul, then we're going to lack in prosperity and we're going to lack in health. That's just the word of God. Sometimes we don't like to look at it that way. We want God just to bless us in spite of ourselves. But God can really bless us if our soul is prospering. Because he has no reason to chastise us. He has no reason to withhold from us, because we are pressing towards the prize. We are pressing towards the truths of God. We're pressing towards the will of God for our lives. And because of that, then God just pours out blessing on top of blessing. Don't misunderstand me. This is not necessarily the normal prosperity message that you were going to hear across this land today on the airwaves and across the networks. Prosperity is real. It is true. And God will bless those that bless him. What we fall and pray to, even though we lash out against it fervently, we fall and pray to the prosperity message of this day and this hour. We're wanting God to do everything for us, and we're not even wanting to lift a pinky to do anything for God. That is what has crippled the church. As Lindsay was sharing that this morning about how that Israel had went 20 years without true worship, without pure worship, and the effect that it had upon the people, and how that when David was going to reestablish the true worship of God, praise God that he gathered 30,000. Hallelujah. But once again, you got to realize 30,000, according to several million, was a small minority group. Even though it's a large number to us, it was still a minority group. But this minority group is the one that turned worship around. Woo! Hallelujah. This minority group, if you will, this morning, we're the ones that's going to turn worship around in this community. Hallelujah. In this city and in the surrounding communities, as you and I begin to reestablish true worship. And the way we're going to do that is by taking the prosperity of soul test. Woo. Hallelujah. Are you ready for your pop quiz this morning? Glory to God. Because it's going to be rough and it's going to be tough, but it's going to bring prosperity to my soul. And when it brings prosperity to my soul, then it's going to bring God moving with His might, with His power, with His glory. Not only in our lives personally. Guess what? If it's happening in our lives personally, we will not be able to contain it. It will automatically flow to the lost and dying world. Hallelujah. So his desire is for his soul to prosper. I want to share some marks this morning of soul prosperity. Things that begin to transpire as my soul is prospering. How many can remember that time or that moment in your history where you met Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and He washed your sins away, and He created that new creature inside of you, and He brought the joy of salvation fresh into your life like you've never had it before? Hallelujah. Anybody remember that besides me? Oh my, that's the greatest point in time in my entire life when Jesus Christ saved my soul. And He brought new desires inside of my heart, inside of my mind. Things that weren't there before, He put them there by that born-again experience. Hallelujah. And here's one of the marks that happened at that moment of time. It was prayer. You remember that? After you got saved, you just wanted to pray all the time. You just wanted to read your Bible all the time. You just had a necessity arising in your heart. I need to pray. What was that? That was a mark of the prosperity of your soul, because you had just become a new creature in Jesus Christ and you were full of prosperity. Your soul was full like never before because it was a brand new experience in your life of salvation. Hallelujah. And it brought forth the necessity of prayer in your life. In other words, it wasn't necessarily a condemning necessity. It was the reality of the opportunity I now have to be in the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. And so its necessity arose in our hearts. But now, is that still there? Is prayer in your heart and in your mind a necessity? Or is it something that you can take or leave, you know, if you have time? Soul prosperity. How is your soul faring this morning? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and 18, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. So in other words, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, as it's moving in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, brings forth the necessity of prayer. I gotta pray. I need to pray. Prayer is where I need to be. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing. How many get a little anxious from time to time? How many get a little stressed and worried and fretting all the time? And well, be careful for nothing. That's not talking about being careless. That's saying don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Where else would I go with my frustrations? Where else would I go with my anxiety? Where else would I go with my times when I don't understand how it's going to happen? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where's the necessity for prayer? Where's that unction from the Holy Ghost? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find that place of peace. Find that place of rest. Find that place of power. Wow. Hallelujah. So that's why we don't have to stress. That's why we don't have to worry. But how many realize we find ourselves doing the very thing that we really don't have to do because Jesus Christ has made a way where we can have stress relief? It's called prayer. And it's not just a matter of the ritual of prayer. It is the matter of entering into the presence of the throne room of God and finding that grace and that power to help in the time of need. In Zechariah 12 and 10, it says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And we see here, this is actually a prophecy of something that's still yet to come and that's going to happen, how that God is going to move upon the house of David with the spirit of grace. And as the spirit of grace moves, it's going to produce supplication and worship and praise and prayer unto God. And they're going to realize that Christ is their Savior and they're going to accept him. And it's going to bring about a total change of prayer and praise in their lives. See, right now, they all go to what's called the Wailing Wall. They're not going to Jesus. They haven't come to that place yet. But there's coming a time when they're going to believe on Jesus Christ. And their prayer is going to change. Hallelujah. And that spirit of grace is going to move. And now the supplication is going to be going up for all of Israel to receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And it's God's going to bring it. God's going to move that way. That's exactly what he did in our lives when he created that new creature. He brought that spirit of grace and that spirit of supplication. I remember the first things I used to do, after I got saved, was to pray for my lost family. I wanted them to have exactly what I've got. Hallelujah. I wanted them to be saved. I wanted them to experience Jesus Christ. And I mean, we would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And anybody else remember that when you first got saved? How much you used to pray for the lost. How much you used to pray for strength. How much you used to pray. Well, have you arrived? You got all the strength you need? You got all the power you need? Then why have we quit praying like we used to pray? Woo! Is our soul as prosperous as it used to be? Are we more prosperous now financially? Are we more prosperous now in our health? But are we prosperous in our soul? Woo! Hallelujah! In our walk with God. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress. You know, those men were just a little bit meaner than most are today, because they didn't really, they just, well, here's what he said. John Bunyan said, if we are prayerless, we are Christless. Whoa. Anybody ever think about your lack of prayer like that? Oh, I don't. No. We don't think of our lack of prayer like that. You know how we think about our lack of prayer? Well, you know, I'll get time later. I'll do it. We're procrastinators in the hour we live in about the things pertaining to God. We always put the things of God off, and we take care of all the natural things. And I'll deal with that by the time we get to the end here. And so this is just the first mark of soul prosperity, is prayer and its necessity and prayer and its nature. Is prayer a drudgery? Is prayer something I have to make myself do? The nature of prayer, when the soul is prospering, it's voluntary. It's not a ritual. It's not fear of hell or condemnation. It's that new nature's desire for the presence of God. It's just natural for the soul that's prospering to be found in a place of prayer. Hallelujah. Whether it's around the altar here in the house of God, whether it's in your car driving down the road, whether it's at your home. Whether you're out in the park and looking at the beauty of creation, it's a wonderful place to give God praise and thanksgiving. It makes no difference. It just becomes voluntary. Hallelujah. You just begin to pray because it's in you. Woo, hallelujah. You see, it's just the nature. It's voluntary. It's not something that I have to do. Something I want to do. Hallelujah. And because I want to do it, the reason I want to do it is because prayer is constrained by the love of God. The love of God in me presses me and unctions me and moves me to want to be with Jesus, to want to talk with Jesus, want to talk with God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. It reminds me of that story about the circuit rider preacher Sheffy. When he first got saved and he was trying to get a license to preach with the known denomination of his day, and they were not wanting to give it to him because he was not a per se learned man in their colleges and in their seminaries and all that. He was just a young man that was just felt the call to preach and applied for his license to preach, and they said, "Well, we don't feel like we can give it to you." And he said, "Well, why not?" And of course, they began to give the answer of, "Well, you haven't attended college and seminary and studied." He said, "Well, I can do that." "Well, there's one other thing." He said, "Well, what is it?" And they said, "Well, it's been noted that when you pray, you pray like you're actually talking and communicating with God." Now, to you and I, that seems totally foolish. I think it does. And he just looked at him. And he said, "Well, to whom do you pray when you pray?" He was communicating with God. His salvation was real. It was genuine. It wasn't a ritual. It wasn't a have to. It was in him. And when he prayed, he talked with God, and God talked with him. Hallelujah. And so he just marched out of there and said, "I don't need your license." And he went and became one of the most renowned circuit preachers of that day and that hour. And later on, that denomination came and wanted to be a part of what he was doing. And he said, I don't need to be part of that. Why stifle what God's doing by trying to bring something like that in with it?" Woo! Praise be to our God. See, it becomes our nature. Hallelujah. It's voluntary. The love of God, 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. That love of Christ, what Christ has done for me and bringing salvation to me, bringing salvation to you, the finished work of Calvary, the price that was paid, should constrain my heart to be in his presence. Build my relationship with him, my communication skills. Anybody ever heard that terminology? Communication skills. Anybody know how to talk? Can you communicate what you know with someone else? Communication skills. See, that's why we have English classes in school. For communication skills. That's why we have biology, and that's why we have social studies. That's why we do schoolwork, to build our communication skills, to take what we have learned and communicate it to others. Do you realize that's why they give you a test in school? To see if you can communicate what you have learned? Think about that. How are you going to be able to communicate if you don't know it? Now let's move to the Bible. Why do you think we need to read God's Word? Because we'll not be able to communicate it if we do not know it. Hallelujah. And so we've got to know God's Word and read God's Word and study God's Word. So prayer is a mark of soul prosperity. It means everything's okay between me and my God because I see the necessity of it. And prayer is not a drudgery nor a ritual. It is something that I want to do because the love that's been given unto me and poured out into me, I want to turn around and pour it back to God by standing in the gap. For those that need salvation, by standing in the gap for brothers and sisters in the Lord that need strength and courage, its outcome, in other words, prayer and what it brings into my life, it's the outcome of this prayer that shows forth the prosperity of my soul. In Acts 4 and 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They communicated. Hallelujah. You see, the outcome of prayer, that mark of soul prosperity, brings forth power into my life. It brings forth, hallelujah, oh my, it brings forth faithfulness to edify. In other words, they spake the word of God with boldness. It brings forth the desire and the love for those that are bringing the word of God to our hearts and to our lives. In other words, our personal prayer, that prosperity of our soul, begins to transform who we are and what we want and what we desire and what we love. You see, if you don't love the messengers, then your soul is not very prosperous. And prayer has not really been availed to the power that it is. How many remember that old song, "Give me that old time religion"? Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. What was that old time religion? Soul prosperity. Hallelujah. When men and women just launched into prayer on a continual basis, no matter where they were at, no matter what they were doing. I'm always encouraged. Sister Pepper testifies about her little op room where she does hygiene and cleans people's teeth and everything else that goes with it. But sometimes it turns into the platform for singing and preaching and worshiping God. Hallelujah. What is that? That's some of that old time religion. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. That makes me love everybody and helps me to be able to pray any moment of the day. Hallelujah. And I know that I will be in the presence of my King when I lift my voice. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's not something that I'm unfamiliar with. It's somewhere I go continually. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. That means I continually go into the presence of my God. Did you know and understand and realize this sanctuary is not the only place that you can go into the presence of God? Hallelujah. And I trust it's not the only place you do go into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And if it is the only place you go into the presence of God, you need to enlarge your borders and start moving into the presence of God at your house. Hallelujah. In your car. Wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Moving into the presence of God. It should not be a foreign place to be, nor a strange place to be. Actually, the Bible says you and I are pilgrims and strangers of this world, not of heaven. Hallelujah. Ooh, praise God. We are citizens of heaven. That's why our communication, all of our shopping needs to be done in heaven. For soul prosperity. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. How many's a bargain hunter likes to go shopping at those places? You know that you can get those bargains. I'm talking about in this world, in this physical realm. I'm guilty of it. I always like the bargain. I don't want to have to pay full price if I don't have to. And if it's something that I need, then I'm always looking for the best deal and the best price. Hallelujah. Well, God has the best deal on everything pertaining to spirituality. It's free. It's free, glory to God. It doesn't cost me anything because Jesus Christ paid the price that I could have power, that I could have victory, that I could pray, that I could be prosperous in my soul. Woo, hallelujah, praise be to God. And we've just covered one area here this morning, and I've got to move on. Hallelujah. So prayer, it's necessity, it's nature, it's outcome. Praise the Lord. Prayer just changes things. How many's heard that? And the greatest thing that true prayer changes is me. And if I'm not changing, then that just lets me know I'm not praying the way I'm supposed to be praying. And I'm not talking about the timetable either. I'm talking about the surrender of the heart. I'm talking about entering into the presence of God. Hallelujah. That I can, and this is the next mark of soul prosperity, and they just kind of build upon each one, because if you're not praying and entering into the presence of God, then you're not going to be growing in knowledge of yourself. The Bible wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've got to realize here with this pastor this morning and in this message that when prayer becomes that necessity and prayer becomes that desire and prayer becomes that way of life, it's going to begin to give me great knowledge on me, on myself. And that knowledge is not going to really be a happy one to start with, because it's going to start showing me the error of my ways. And see, this all started when you were born again by the Spirit of God, and a new creature was created inside of you, and you have new desires, now that desire to pray. And as you pray, you start growing in the knowledge of yourself of how far short you're coming of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, it makes one more sensible, one more aware of really how unworthy we are to have this great privilege of a relationship with God. You see, the biggest problem in the church world today is they think they're so good that God ought to do something for them. That's not how it works. When I start entering into that prayer and that relationship with God and in living in that presence of God and start becoming a partaker of that divine nature, it starts making me more aware of just how wretched I really am. And outside of the grace of God, there is no hope for me. There is no hope for you. And so growing knowledge of oneself, this is a sign of soul prosperity, is I start realizing just how lacking that I am, yet God in His grace has saved me. He has washed me. He has cleansed me. I start becoming aware of my outward state. What is that, Brother Pepper? Well, that engulfs a great amount of things, but I start becoming aware of how I present myself, the attitude I carry, the mind frame I carry, how I treat other people. This is a sign of soul prosperity. If you treat other people bad, your soul is not prospering well. Does Jesus treat other people bad? Has Jesus ever treated you bad? Then why on earth are you treating other people bad? It's a sign that something's not working right. The soul is not prospering as it should. You see, I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about prospering in what God has given you. You remember the story of the talents in the Bible where the owner, the keeper came and he gave five talents, to one he gave two talents, to one he gave one talent. In other words, they were all workers. They were all part of what he had established there, and they were workers for him. And the one went out and gained more. Two of them went out and gained more, and then one of them only had one talent to deal with, and he just hid it. You ever wondered why he did that? Because when you read the rest of the story, the master says, you know that's not the way I do it. And these others have done it just like I wanted it done. You went and hid it. What does that mean? He didn't want to do what was expected of him to do. He just wanted to do what he wanted to do. But then when judgment came and the master came that day expecting more, there was nothing there because that servant did not prosper like he should have. And he was cast out into outer darkness. See, it's not a matter of whether you've gotten saved. It's a matter, is your soul prospering? Are you seeing yourself like you've never seen yourself before? And are you doing everything within your power to bring that to Jesus Christ to transform it into the image of Christ? This is where the church is lacking in this hour, in this day. Nobody wants to gain knowledge of themselves for the power of transformation in their lives. And so then it shows us our outer state as we enter into prayer and fellowship with God and our soul is prospering. We start seeing ourselves at things start changing. Amen. And so we start, once again, where are we going to take this to? We're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Not that God will take it from us. No, but that God will work His will in us. Hallelujah. And replace it. Hallelujah. You see, it's not going to be just jerked out of you. You're going to have to replace it with what God gives you. And start walking in what God gives you. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. And so I become more knowledgeable of what I'm doing, how I'm treating people. I become more knowledgeable of really what I desire. The inward state. It also starts helping me see how much glory is due unto Christ. It starts bringing worship alive in my heart and in my soul. Because not only do I start seeing myself, then I start seeing the greatness of Christ. Because even because of myself, He's still being gracious to me. He's still being kind to me. He is still working in me. He is not going to cast me away at this point in time. Because He sees potential in me. And so I start seeing how worthy He is of praise. Why? Because I've saw how unworthy I am. But yet He still loves me. Yet he still works with me. Yet he speaks to me. Yet his word comes to me. Wow. And it starts bringing me back into a place of pure worship, of how worthy he is. Why? Because I see how unworthy I am. Hallelujah. And so we see then it makes one more sensible then of the grace of God that is moving on my behalf. The Bible declares, Paul wrote it to the Romans, where sin abound, grace much more abounds. Hallelujah. That is not that I can remain in sin. No. That's so I can come to that knowledge of myself and the knowledge of Christ and take that grace and let God work newness in me. Hallelujah. And walk with God, and my soul will prosper. And as my soul prospers, so will I in the natural world. I will prosper and I will be healthy. Hallelujah. Are you saying, Brother Pepper, that everybody that's sick has soul prosperity problems? I'm not saying that, but you better check into it, because the Bible does talk about it. It's not my place to condemn or tell anybody where they're at, other than what the Bible tells me, so I can judge myself. Where am I at? When I'm preaching this, I'm not preaching this to the point of I'm trying to determine where you're at. No. When I'm preaching this, I'm trying to determine where I'm at. Where am I at in my soul prosperity? Where am I at in my relationship with God? Hallelujah. This message is not for you, it's for us. Hallelujah, that we might be prosperous, but when our soul is prosperous, the lost are going to be saved, church. Hallelujah. There's going to be workings among the children of God, and there's going to be prayers of faith, and there's going to be healing in bodies when our soul prospers. Now, you can expect everybody else's soul to prosper so that you can receive your healing. I'm going to stand right here flat-footed and tell you, if your soul is not prospering and you're asking for God for healing, I don't care how much faith everybody else has, you're probably not going to get it until you're ready to listen what the Spirit of God is saying to you so you can rectify your life and get your soul prospering. And then before you know it, you'll find yourself healed. And you won't even be trying. It will just come with the territory. Woo, praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Man, my toes are hurting. How about yours? And it's not because it hurt before I came in either. Hallelujah. It's just the reality of my soul prosperity. It is something that we have begun to neglect in our Christian lives. And that's a whole other message of why. But we got to realize then, I can adjust. I can change. Titus 2:11-15, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Hallelujah. What I'm preaching to you this morning is what Paul preached to Titus, what Titus preached to his people, what Timothy preached to his people. I'm not preaching anything new under the sun here this morning. I'm just preaching God's word to help us realize where we're really at in our spiritual prosperity. Hallelujah. Where are we really at in our relationship with God? Because as we start seeing these things and we start understanding the grace of God, we are no longer trying to lean on the grace of God for forgiveness of sin, but we start leaning on the grace of God for the victorious Christian life. Woo, hallelujah. You see, that's the next thing about spiritual prosperity. And I want you to run back through it with me, and I'm going to try to close. That spiritual prosperity starts with prayer and relationship with God, which grows then into a knowledge of myself, and then the knowledge of Christ is my only hope. And then it moves on to the fact that I lay hold of that hope and begin to live that victorious Christian life with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on the throne of my heart. You see, because once this process begins and I keep prospering in my soul, it's going to roll right on over into my works. We preached about it Thursday night, about the Great Commission and how that's part of the Great Commission. And James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So if I say I have faith in Jesus Christ, but it's not producing a change in me, I'm dead. It's like John Bunyan said, prayerless is Christless. Because without prayer, I will not be able to function in God's plan of salvation for my life. Without entering into the presence of a holy God, that is the whole reason Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that the blood of Jesus Christ could be applied to our lives, sanctify us before God, so that we could march right in to the throne room of God, the presence of God, and build that relationship with God the Father, God the Son, through the Holy Ghost of God. This is God's great plan of salvation, and this is the prosperity of my soul as I allow God to build this in my life. I will be prosperous in my soul, and thus His hand will be upon my life. Doesn't mean trials won't come. Doesn't mean storms won't come. It just means I will have the faith and the confidence in my God that whatever comes, He'll take me through. Not everybody's in this place, church. Not everybody's soul is as prosperous as other souls. And that's not condemnation, that's just reality. The Bible talks about babes in Christ. Talks about believers that are actually babes and they should already have been maturing adults. But the thing is no matter where I'm at, God's still right there. And God's Word is still coming. And God's Spirit is still coming. And God is trying to take me into soul prosperity. Because if my soul can prosper, then so get other things in my life. Now, I'm talking to Christians this morning. Not necessarily talking to those that haven't been born again by the Spirit of God and haven't really entered into that newness of life and that new creation. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to those that have moved to that place. This is the next step. Learning how your soul can prosper by following the ways of God. Hallelujah. And you got to realize all this was written and all this was done with the presumption that you're full of the Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? I mean, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, this process is stifled. It's not going to be able to happen. Bible says sometimes I don't know how to pray, but the Spirit of God will come and pray for me. Whoa. Are you getting the picture now how important it is to be filled with the Spirit of God so that I can have that power to enter into that relationship with God, understand that relationship with God? The only way I can have a relationship with God and move into that throne room of God is by the Spirit of God. I can't get there out of intellect. I can't get there just out of good works. The good works are not what get me into the presence of God. The good works is what is a result of being in the presence of God. Good works will never save me nor get me anywhere with God. What gets me anywhere with God is my relationship with Him, my allegiance to Him, and my obedience unto Him. Because I can be keeping all those things that I want to keep, but not keeping those things that He's talking to me about. Do you know the Bible says that if you offend in just one area, you've offended in all? James tells us about that. So this pick and choose thing doesn't work. Because the only one that picks and chooses is the Holy Ghost. And whatever He picks, that's what you work with. Woo! That's what you work on. That's what you deal with. Hallelujah. So can you see the vital importance it is and why it's just understood in Scripture that the believers are full of the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God? Because without that, there is no relationship that can be accomplished with God. How do you know that, Brother Pepper? The Bible tells me that. Jesus Christ told His disciples that. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. Don't you go any further in anything that I've told you to do until you be filled with the Spirit of God. If Jesus told those disciples who had walked with him 3.5 years and had heard everything that he said, and he said, you do not go anywhere until that happens, you think he's going to change that for me? Or you think he's going to change that for you? No, he's not. Because it's the next step. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, your next step is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that needs to be your motivation of prayer. Hallelujah. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, then every time you go to an altar to pray, you need to be asking God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that's the only thing you got to pray about, but it needs to be on your mind. It needs to be on your heart. It needs to be a longing in your soul. It needs to be burning so bad that you'll do anything to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you don't have that going on, then you don't think it's necessary. And if you don't think it's necessary, then you have no prosperity of soul going on. You're just trying to do it all yourself. That's not soul prosperity. That's carnality is what that is. That's what the Bible calls the carnal mind. Grace. I gotta have the grace. I gotta have the relationship. I've gotta have the power. I've gotta know the voice of God. I've gotta begin to build a relationship with him. That's the plan of God. Once again, we're closing here on it brings victorious life. Not only does it start bringing forth good works, righteous works, holy works, it starts bringing forth a love that I've never known. Back to our song. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love. If that's not going on, then your spiritual prosperity is not near what God wants it to be and what God has provided for. Hallelujah. It's not just a matter of getting saved so I can go to heaven. Heaven's just a benefit of getting saved. It is not the purpose of getting saved. The purpose of getting saved is building that relationship with God so my life can be transformed into the image of Christ. That's the purpose. What is the whole duty of man? Fear God and do the commandments you think are right. No, that's not what it says, is it? It says, fear God and keep his commandments. Well, Jesus only gave us 2. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. That talks to me about relationship. That means my life is centered in Jesus Christ and nothing else. And because of that, I will be able to fulfill 2. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Woo! You ever get mad at folks? Well, however you got mad, just reverse the process and get unmad. Because you're the one that put yourself there anywhere. Because God didn't. Holy Ghost didn't. Jesus didn't. That means you put yourself there. So if you put yourself there, then you can back right up. And you can unput yourself there. How many has ever heard the little cliche, you just can get glad in the same pants you got mad in? Woo! I mean, if you got mad, that means you can get glad. They're both emotions. Amen. If you put yourself over here, then just turn right around and put yourself back over here. Because you have that power. And that's just a God-given power called choice. Woo! Oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You chose to do it. Hello. You see, we give excuses for everything we do instead of wanting to admit my soul prosperity is in danger. My relationship with God's in danger. Hallelujah. God of heaven. You see, that love, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Not going to read it all here this morning. You can put it up there, Brother Timmy. They can begin to read it. But what I do want to put and talk about is the final scripture here this morning of the reality. And this is how my soul is going to prosper. It makes no difference who I am, where I've come from, how long I've been saved. This portion of scripture is exactly what I'm going to have to do if I want soul prosperity going on in my life. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 through 33. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?
For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's all they're worried about. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33 is the answer that I've got to lay a hold of and every believer's got to lay a hold of. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. What was John reaffirming? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and God will take care of your prosperity and your health. God will take care of you if you are giving yourself wholly unto him. You see, every one of us, every individual has to make that survey of life. It's kind of like what we talk about revival. Sister Pepper, you can come back to the piano. When we talk about revival, we talk about revival's got to start with an individual. Every individual putting forth individual effort brings forth revival. It's that proverbial draw that circle on the ground and stand in the middle of it and start praying, God, send revival right here in this circle. Am I willing to really see myself like God sees me? You see, the greatest thing about the grace of God is God doesn't reveal everything about us that he sees. He just takes it one step at a time. Because it would devastate us beyond all hope if he showed it all to us of just how short you and I come of the glory of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. If he showed it all to us, we would be totally overwhelmed and hopeless. So in his grace, he just takes it one step at a time. And as long as we just keep stepping, our soul will prosper. But it's when we stop, put the old heel in. Surely this is enough. Surely I don't have to go anymore. Surely there's not more in my life. Do you really want to go there? Do you really want him to show you what's in your life? It's far better off just to keep on walking one step at a time. One illumination at a time. Start walking in the Spirit of God. Start walking in the Word of God. Start prospering in your soul, seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And he will then take care of the things that I'm going to need in this life. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Prosperity of the soul. Hallelujah. I told you it wasn't going to be a very popular message. And it's not a condemning message by any means, other than the fact it's a revealing message to help me to begin starting that journey back into soul prosperity. Jesus told that church in the book of Revelation, I've got one thing against you. You've left your first love. You've left that desire for soul prosperity. You've left that desire of seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. For whatever reason, you've left that. And Jesus said, repent. Remember what I just told you a moment ago? If you went here, you know what Jesus says? He says, repent. That means turn away from it and go back to where you used to be. Go back to that soul prosperity.
go back to seeking first the kingdom of God. What does that entail? That means my decisions go through Jesus Christ before I make them. My desires go through Jesus Christ before I allow them to be there. And sometimes those desires don't even need to be there, but I'm not stepping up to the plate to take them to Him in a serious and sincere note. Lord, set me free. Hallelujah. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. He's not turning anyone away. But He says, come. Come. I'll give you rest. What is that? I'll give you victory. I'll give you what you need if you will just come unto me. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Let's do that this morning, church. These altars are open. Jesus Christ has bidden us come. Come. Come unto me. Are you burdened down? You got troubles? You got trials? Come unto me. Come unto me. I'll give you that rest. I'll give you that directive. I'll give you that understanding. I'll help you in the midst of your storms.